right this morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Now, I've been told a new pulpit for a preacher is a little bit like moving into a new apartment, except everybody gets to watch you do it. And so you're going to watch me kind of change my hands this morning, try to figure out where the comfortable spots are. I also have been trying to talk Brian into putting a coffee warmer in here for me, a mini fridge, and maybe even a microwave so that I can have a donut after service. But we're still trying to work out the specifics of that. Well, this morning, the title of our message is The Legacy of the Church. And I think it's appropriate on a day like today when we celebrate, as we said earlier, not only the history and legacy of this church, but also those who made this church so special for generations. And on homecoming, we remember them. But we remember them as part of the legacy. And it's a legacy in a church, as we'll learn today, that really is a legacy that I pray and hope is pleasing to the Lord. Now, this morning, our text comes from Philippians. Now, Paul was writing this letter to the church at Philippi. This is a church that, as some of you may remember, is a little unusual in that, for all intents and purposes, this is a healthy church. They're a church that Paul helped to plant, we think, somewhere around the second missionary journey. He probably visited them again during the third missionary journey, but the church at Philippi always had a special place, it seems, in Paul's heart. And he's writing this letter, really, in essence, to give a thank you. It's a letter of gratitude to thank them for some financial gift that they had given. Now hold on to that, because we're going to come back and talk about that a little bit later in our review of this passage, because that does become an important marker about the healthiness of this church, that they were investing in the future of the gospel. And any church that's leaving a legacy, as we'll see, is investing in the gospel. That's the core center of what we stand to do as a church. So this morning, as we look at this, I want us to think about this in reference not only to this church, but as many of you may be visitors this morning. I also want to tell you that any church needs to often think about the legacy that they're leaving. Because we live in a world today where there is some confusion about what the purpose of the church is and what the church exists to do, and maybe even perhaps what the church doesn't exist to do. And make no mistake, all churches are leaving some kind of legacy. The question really is, how do we leave a legacy that is honoring to God, that is God-pleasing? And so this morning, that's what we're going to look at. Pray with me. Father, this morning, once again, we are coming to you, offering our praise and our worship to you, coveting this morning, Father, to put you in the right place so that as we open your word, that you would open our hearts. And Father, we ask that you would teach us this morning, that you would show us, God, the truths of your word and how they apply and impact our life where we sit today. Father, there may be some who've come this morning with a heavy heart. There's sadness, there's concern, there's fear even. Lord, we lay all of that at your altar and lift that up to you and ask that you would help us for these next few minutes to focus on you. There may be some here who never have accepted your Son as their Lord and Savior. We pray this morning that through the endeavor into this passage, that what they would hear is a message from the Holy Spirit, a message of evangelism, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because that's really the purpose of what our church stands for. And Father, we pray for the believer this morning, that you would stir in them a desire and a hungering for you and your word, and to invest themselves in the work of a church, maybe even this church. We ask that you guide us during these next few minutes, for it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Start reading with me in verse 1. And it says this, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. Now, Paul, we know, is writing this while he's in prison. So when he makes mention of being a prisoner or imprisoned, that has meaning to it. Verse 8, for God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. This morning I want to give you four things that we can extract out of this passage that will help us understand how we can leave a legacy as a church that pleases the Lord. Now, obviously, this is within the context of Concord Baptist Church, but as I've said, this is something that really is timeless. It's something that goes through the generations and certainly through the locations of the church. You could almost say the church could be viewed not only in the sense of the local body, but also the church that includes all of us, the body of believers, and the legacy that is left behind once we go to be with the Lord. The first thing you'll see on the screen as far as how a church leaves a God-pleasing legacy, number one is this, and you see this really in verse 5 when he talks about the fact that leaders and members who are committed to the Lord. Now, a church is a unique organization. We have membership, and there is a formality to that membership, but that membership is really only gauged in a person professing and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. They have now said that because they've come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, they wish to join and become part of the local church in order to serve the Lord through that local church. And so when we look at what he says in verse 5, in view of your participation in the gospel. Now, I don't know, maybe you were one that underlines. If so, underline participation in the gospel. Because that's an important tip to what we need to understand here, is that when leaders and members are committed to the local church, they're ultimately committed to serving the Lord. And it's not so much the local church as it is doing what God has called them to do as believers, to participate. And we've said this several times this morning. The gospel and the preaching and the sharing and the carrying of the gospel has to be central to the function of the local church. Otherwise, there's no difference between us and the local social club down the road. We're much more than that. We're a fellowship of believers who've come together to serve the Lord, to fellowship together, and to accomplish the mission that he's given all of us together within the work of this church. And whatever church we're a part of, we commit to join, to work toward that mission. And so when we look at this, not only the leaders, and notice in the beginning, it's really in verse, 2, that he makes mention, or actually, forgive me, it's the end of verse 1 where he says to all of the saints, so you could think of it that way, to all of the members of the church who are in Philippi, and then he even includes the overseers and deacons. Now we understand deacons. Overseers, we think, is a reference more for the pastor, the elder that would have been over a local congregation. Now we know in a city like Philippi, there probably were multi-site churches. Now, we use that term today. That would not have been the term they used in the first century, but we use that today as a new trend, and it's really not a new trend. The church from its very beginning often would grow beyond the walls of a particular house, and so they would meet in multiple homes. So by today's standard, they would be a multi-site church. And so when he makes reference of including the overseers and deacons, he is making a point to include the leaders. The leaders of the church. And I think that's an important testimony. Because when you begin to look at the healthiness of a local church and a particular work within the church, it often comes back to the leadership. Not just the pastor, okay? I'm not trying to put myself on the spot or any pastor on the spot, but the deacons share in this responsibility too. And even those who lead in the church that don't fit into those categories. We must lead through the love of the Lord. Our relationships with Christ have to be on the forefront, and now through that and the overflow of our hearts, we now begin to lead the rest of the congregation to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Think of it this way. Those of you who are leaders in this church or in any church, you can't lead someone where you yourself are not headed. Amen? And too often, we separate leadership from the actual function of the church. If we're leading, then we may be, in some sense, in front of everyone else, but that doesn't give us really a position of honor as much as it gives us a position of challenge. Because we're taking whoever God has brought into this church on the journey to accomplish the mission that God has given to this church. And so if we're not committed to it, if we're not who we need to be in the Lord, then we can never expect that out of those who are a part of this church. Often, the crumbling of a church, the failure of a church, sometimes and often rests with failure in leadership. Now I'm going to move on. I could park on that a while, but I'll move on. Number two, as we'll see, and this again answers the question, how a church leaves a God-pleasing legacy. We've said the leaders and members have to be committed to the Lord and the work of the church. Number two, as you'll see, a history that is remembered and celebrated. In fact, we find that Paul likely would have gotten regular updates about this church. And he even references in here that he is aware, he remembers what God did through the planting of this church and what this church is continually doing. Now, this is an easy one because a church like ours celebrates its history, its legacy often. In a day like today with homecoming and we welcome all of our friends and former members and loved ones, it is a time to come back and remember the legacy and the history of this church and to celebrate. Now we understand we're not worshiping the building. The church is more than that. The church is made up of those who make up the membership in the church. And though you may not necessarily be a part of this church anymore, but your family had a legacy in this church. And it takes all of us through the generations of this church to accomplish the mission. And God is not through with this church yet. He is continually uncovering new things for us to be involved with. The horizon continues to be stretched, and we're continuing to be hard at work in serving the Lord. But at the same time, we remember the richness and the investment of those who came before us. And that's another part, I think, that's important. Paul says in this part of the letter that he remembers. And I know some would say, well, hey, we need to forget the past and move forward and not worry about it. Listen, I am enough of a historian, and I'm not much of one, by the way, but I'm enough of a historian to understand that if you don't understand the mistakes and even the successes of those who came before us, then we are destined to make the same mistakes. And that includes the work of the church. The people who planted this church had a vision from God. And to be honest with you, even though the world has changed dramatically since the planting of this church, the vision still remains the same. Amen. To carry the gospel into this community and into the world at large. And we're committed to do that in all that we do as a church. And it's important that we continue to celebrate the past, but at the same time, understand the challenges and the calling that we have in our future. And that's an important part of this as well. A church leaves a God-pleasing legacy when they're remembered. And again, they're celebrated for what God has done through them and continually doing through them. Amen. And then number three is this, and you'll see this also embedded in this passage. In fact, it's around about verse 9. You'll find Paul make mention of this. This I pray, that your love may abound. Now again, if you're one who likes to underline, underline that. Your love may abound. Listen, here's the third thing that a church needs to do in order to leave a God-pleasing legacy, and that is the love of Christ is central in all that it does. Now you may think, well, wait, we're being hypocritical here. Didn't we say the Word of God needs to be central? It is, but we love those around us enough that we carry the Word of God to them, that we share the gospel with them, that we don't want them to die without the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And our love for the Lord is what gives us the motivation to love those around us, to love those in the world, the lost, and to be able to be committed in sharing the gospel with them. So it is true, the love of Christ is central in all that we do. And a church not only needs to love those on the outside of the church, the lost, the needy, those who are hurting, but they also must learn to love one another within the walls of the church. And being able to not allow the flesh. You know, I've said this before. Many of you have heard me say this. The church would be a perfect place if it weren't for you and I being here, right? Once we entered into this church, the church now becomes imperfect. But God is always perfect. Amen? And when we understand that there are imperfect people within this church, you included and me as well, then now we understand there's going to be problems from time to time. There may be some personality issues. There may be some disagreements. But even in the midst of that, we must always remember our love for the Lord, our love for the lost, and our love for one another, even though sometimes we may not like one another, okay? I know you all like each other, but the Lord always commands us to love one another. That doesn't always mean that we may like everything that one another do. But we must come together in order to be committed to sharing the gospel and the function of the church. I keep talking about the function of the church. Listen, let's be clear about something. Carrying the gospel is part of that. But we also understand worship is part of that. Fellowship is a part of that. Discipleship is a part of that as well. And doing the ministries, helping those in need, are all part of the function of the church. But we also do all of those things in order to make Christ who He is and declare Him to the lost world around us. And then the final thing is this. And that really comes in the last part of this, but it is this, and you'll see it on the screen. A church leaves a God-pleasing legacy when they desire to continue to be useful for the Lord's work. Listen, we celebrate today the past, but we also understand that we have a rich future. And God is not through with this church. He's not through with His work in this church. He has brought you to be a part of this church and the ministries of this church, so that you can continue to be the tools and the instruments to accomplish the work that He has for us. And so we have to have that desire to continue to stay focused on what God is doing and how He may be using each of us. And listen, even those of you who may not be part of this church, but you're part of the extended family, you can pray often for this church. You can support this church. You know, when people ask about your history and the richness of your past and your family, then say something about what God has done through this church. We're not bragging about the church, but we're saying good things about what God has done in this church, and we're becoming a testimony of what God has done in this church in our lives. And that's an important part of it. All through Scripture, not just here in Philippi, but all through Scripture, you find testimonies of the work of the local church. And I believe that that's something that we should do. So when people ask you, where do you go to church? I go to Concord Baptist Church or whatever church. But say that with favor and a little bit of maybe not proud or pride, but with an assuredness that I'm where I need to be and I'm proud of what God does through the work of the church that I'm a part of. I think that's an important thing. Too often today we evaluate churches by things that really don't matter. It's about music. It's about the way the church may look. It's about the pulpit sometimes. It's about the way the pastor dresses or doesn't dress. And listen, in all honesty, none of those things matter. Only what matters and what should attract people to a church like this is the love of God, the love of Christ, and the truth in which we stand on. And so I think if we'll put away all of those other distractions and focus on the right things, then we can accomplish what He tells us in the very last part of this verse or this passage. It's in verse 11, and He says this, to the glory and praise of God. Now, if you don't remember anything else that I say this morning, Remember that statement. To the glory and praise of God. That's what we exist to do as a church. That's what you exist to do as a believer. That's what our work is to do, is to bring glory. How's that? By sharing the word of God, by sharing the truth, sharing the gospel. And by doing that, we're praising God. Amen? Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you this morning for, again, the privilege that we have to look into your word and to study it together and to hear the truth of it, Father, proclaimed. And so this morning, as we come to the end of this sermon, Lord, and we move into our time of commitment, Lord, we pray right now that you would open our hearts. I don't know where any particular person may be this morning in their spiritual journey, but there may be some this morning who have been thinking about it, praying about it, and they want to come and join this church this morning and be a part of the fellowship of this church. There may be others who want to come as believers and rededicate their life. You've been working in their heart for days, maybe even weeks, and this morning they unexplainably feel led now to come and rededicate their life. Yet there may be others, Father, who come into this place, as we said in our opening prayer, who never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And we've prayed that they would come to know Christ. Maybe this morning they're ready to do that. We have those who would love to share with them how they can come to know Christ. We're not here to embarrass anyone or to put anyone on the spot, but we just simply want to be faithful to the Word of God and provide opportunity for those who need to make a decision. So, Lord, we move into this time of invitation, this time of commitment, and we ask that you guide us and bless us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?